The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
The Vatican is preparing a document that will look at the role of women in the Catholic Church. The announcement has been met with mixed reaction. One group who are advocating for women to be ordained, calling it nothing more than crumbs. Well, I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by former President of Ireland, Dr. Mary McAleese. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Before we go into this, because it's a very interesting topic, I wanted to ask you for your reaction to the Minister of State, Colin Burke, being refused communion at a Requiem Mass in Blarney. What?
Just ludicrous. Absolutely. Heartbreakingly ludicrous. I don't believe any cardinal in Ireland has ever done such a thing. I don't think the Pope has ever done such a thing. I'm pretty sure no archbishop in Ireland has ever done such a thing. It's ludicrous and, as I say, heartbreaking.
Yeah, the priest is quoted as saying that the minister was cooperating with evil because of the Eighth Amendment and so on and so forth. I don't know what will come of it, because it puts the bishop in a very awkward situation given the church's view of abortion and the priest saying, "I'm only going along with the party line."
Yeah, well, frankly, I don't really pay much attention anymore to the way in which the church has completely weaponized the abortion issue without dealing with one of its own big flaws on that issue, which is that every child in the womb, from conception, is regarded as having original sin. And if they die, whether by abortion or stillbirth or miscarriage, they are, and up until very recently, were regarded as, unfortunately, not entitled to go to heaven, but according to church teaching, they could not enter heaven. You remember that whole argument about limbo, which was only ever a hypothesis, was never church teaching. And in more recent times, the Theological Commission, which advises the Pope, looked at that and said, look, we can't say that those children can go to heaven. The church teaching before the hypothesis of limbo was that they went to hell, which was dreadful. The best we can say is we hope that God will have mercy on their little souls. So honestly, I just don't take very seriously people who make a big, big play about the earthly lives of these little children and who are supposed to be themselves. I mean, they are supposed to be about the whole teaching on salvation and have so little mercy or compassion for the child that dies unbaptized. I mean, I find the whole idea that
an unborn child can be a sinner. But of course,
exactly,
according to the theology,
I would ask that priest, has he ever made any representations to the Pope about changing that rule?
Yeah, I presume that the sin of the unborn is original sin, which they carry.
Original sin, allegedly, if there is such a thing, yes. Yeah.
Now, let's get on to what the Vatican is proposing in a document they will produce about the role of women in the church.
Yes.
Because in every other walk of life in the developed world, women can be the CEOs of big corporations, they can be brain surgeons, they can be teachers, doctors, anything you like, anything you can think of.
And rightly so, though I suppose, Pat, if you were to track back along the history of those, you would find in relation to teachers, particularly in relation to doctors or lawyers, that not that terribly long ago, I mean, probably a century ago, a little bit more, you would have found all sorts of reasons why they shouldn't be, couldn't be, and can't be lawyers, doctors, whatever, politicians, where they hadn't the right to vote. But those were all broken down. Every one of those arguments was bogus. They were nonsensical. They were gender-based rubbish. And they were all eventually broken down under the sheer weight of the fact that they were rubbish. Unfortunately, the church, in dealing with those, still lives and inhabits that old world in relation to women, particularly in relation to access to ordination, to the diaconate and to priesthood. And what has happened now after 3 years of this of Pope Francis's synodal process, where at the outset he promised that There would be freedom of speech, there'd be an open agenda, that the church would be a place where there would be nothing about us without us. In other words, decision-making would involve a collaborative process. Here we are at the, you know, we're coming to the end of that process now in the synodal process in October of this year. The document that has been, you know, we're talking about, has just been prepared this week by the Synod Office. It's a working document, a kind of the agenda, if you like, for the October meeting. And once again, what has happened to the women's issue, even though all around the world, consultation showed that the people of God, the laity in particular, but the people of God wanted change in relation to leadership roles for women, decision-making roles for women, access to the diaconate and ordination, largely wanted by women and indeed by men too. And regrettably, what has happened is we now have essentially paralysis on that, that those issues, the issue of leadership of women in the church, has been taken off the synodal agenda and sent off to the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith for them to prepare a report, which means it's back in the hands of a bunch of men again, clerical men, who will then advise the Pope on, you know, on the future leadership roles of women in the church. And besides that, regrettably rather, the Pope himself, in an interview just a few weeks ago with an American television channel, he ruled out the diaconate, the ordained diaconate and ordained priesthood for women. So he's already made up his mind on those issues. Mm-hmm. And I presume what the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith will do is simply give him a document that flatters the opinion he already has, which is what we already have. So we're instead of the incremental change that many of us hoped for, we knew it wouldn't be radical, Pat. We knew that this wouldn't be radical, but we now have paralysis.
For those who want to maintain the status quo, I'm sure they will invoke the testimony of various theologians and biblical scholars in support of what amounts to biological determinism. That you can only be what your biology tells you can be.
As if. You know, well, of course, that was also for generations. That was the reason why women couldn't vote, why women were subordinate to men in the home, subordinate to their husbands, why they couldn't be doctors, why they couldn't be. In fact, if you read the book on women's ordination, the theologian who is regarded as the, you know, the conservative, but essentially the person who sets out the church's position, is a man called Manfred Hauke, who wrote a book on women and priesthood. It's absolutely dreadful stuff. I mean, he dredges up every conceivable argument, including that women have light voices that, you know, that wouldn't carry from a pulpit. and, you know, he's just never heard some of our mummies. And so you look, the church is still, regrettably, in that sort of 19th century mode, which would be very familiar. I mean, it's everything that is said about women and priesthood sounds terribly like the reasons why women weren't allowed to be students at Trinity College, you know, over 100 years ago. Do you remember one of the great provosts of the day, and indeed a great academic in his era, said that they would enter the college over his dead body?
Which they did eventually.
Well, he died in 1904, and they entered college in 1904. So you can pretty much say that they did enter over his dead body. So it's, you look, the church is we're dealing with hierarchical, imperial, old attitudes that have yet to be stripped away by the church. And many of us hoped that Pope Francis' synodal process would help strip those away, because, to be honest, among the people who make up the 1.3 billion Catholics in the world, a majority of them have already stripped away those old attitudes.
The other aspect of this is, if you stand back a bit and you look at where these attitudes still exist in the world towards women, I mean, you can look at the Taliban in Afghanistan, and I'm sure church leaders would shudder at any comparison, but it's there.
Well, actually, Pat, do you know what? You've just, as usual, you've put your finger right on it. Here's the problem. The church is dying in the Western world, what I might call the liberal Western world, where, you know, women's issues have been really have consumed a huge volume of political dynamism. But in the global South, the very conservative global South, where the church is flourishing, the seminaries are full. And actually, this document, this working document that will go in October shows quite clearly the influence of the Global South. Quite frankly, the Global South has won out here. There isn't, for example, even though LGBTIQ plus debate about LGBTIQ plus inclusion in the church took up quite a bit of time at many of the synodal meetings, you know, at diocesan level and at national level, including here in Ireland, where in fairness to the Irish Church, the document from the Irish Church that went to the Synod office was excellent on both those issues and indeed others. And indeed, there's very good practice here in the Archdiocese of Dublin, for example, that you'll find quite a lot of women working in the Archdiocese in roles. Now, they'll nearly always be subordinate to men, to clerics, but they will be in those roles. And the sad thing is, the really, really sad thing is that those voices have been utterly eliminated. This document, this working document, doesn't even mention the problem with LGBTIQ plus Catholic. Doesn't mention it. They're left out completely. Women fare a tiny bit better. They get a little bit of a mention, but only to the extent that the women's problem, and women are seen still as a problem in the church, the women's problem is hived off now to committees for further discussion. And those committees are already spancelled by the Pope having decided that priesthood is out completely, the ordained diaconate out completely, and that maybe, just maybe, there might be some other form of diaconate that won't be an ordained diaconate, but something else that might be possibly open to women. But that's all for the future. It will not happen at this synod. Mm. This document specifically says that it will not; these issues will not be on the synod agenda. They've been taken off it and say hived off to committees that will report sometime into the future.
Do you believe that the Roman Church, centred as it is in the heart of Europe, may have given up a bit on the liberal
yes.
West and has decided in, let's put it in marketing terms, you know, the offering we need to put on the table has got to attract those multitudes in the Global South?
I think you're right, Pat, and I think that the evidence of that was in actually with the last Synod report back in 2023. It was very evident that the African bishops had won out. They're not all ultra-conservative. There are a couple of heroic people among them, but mostly they are. And mostly they represent cultures that have appalling attitudes to women and appalling attitudes, may I say, to homosexuals. Awful. So, yes, but they are also the place where the church is flourishing. The numbers are growing exponentially, and they have no problem whatever recruiting seminarians. I mean, we've closed literally dozens of seminaries here in Ireland, dozens of seminaries throughout the Western world closed down because there's only a handful of young men are volunteering for that profession priests.
You know, given the population is there or thereabouts 50-50 men and women, it means in the Global South, women are accepting of their subservient role.
Are they, though? I mean, can you regard them as accepting if they don't have any power, if they don't have any voice, Pat, if they very often don't have access to education, very often don't have access, for example, you know, to the kind of reproductive rights that would be taken for granted here would be married off at 12, 13 or 14. I don't think that's a fair comparison, to be honest, but because you are dealing with cultures where women are, for the large part, very definitely second-class citizens. And yes, I think you're right to suggest that within the Curia and for the Pope, for Pope Francis, the Global South is now such a powerful player in the church numerically, in terms of exponential growth of membership, and also the exponential growth of, not quite exponential growth, but certainly considerable growth of seminaries and seminarians, which we do not have in the West.
All right. I want to read you two texts, one on either side of your argument, I suppose. Why does Mary bother with the church at all? It's beyond redemption and built on hypocrisy and lies. That's from Kieran. But another one says, will you tell Mary that if she doesn't like the Catholic Church, just leave it and go over to the Anglican Church, where there are many women ministers? Just leave my religion alone.
It's my religion too.
Yeah. And our local Church of Ireland rector is a woman, Ruth Elms. Good morning, Ruth, if you're listening. And not, there are no cataclysms in that particular church. So there we are.
It's you know, I think many of us had hoped that there would be the start, that the synodal process would be the start of incremental change. And to some extent, there's an argument that says it might yet be. One doesn't know. But if we are to judge by the documentation from the Synod Office, then I'd quote a good former Anglican who became a Catholic and a very, very well-known Catholic theologian, Tina Beattie, who this week described the document. What she said was, "Oh, save us this patronising waffle."
On that note, Dr. Mary McAleese, former President of Ireland, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.